From UFOs to ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
And I'm Ben, and as always, we are here with our super producer, Noel, checking it once, checking it twice, Brown. Most importantly, though, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with you, which can only mean one thing. This is stuff they don't want you to know.
Yes, and today we are getting back to you. We are we're just trying to respond to all the stuff we've been getting. Every day we get messages on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook, and we just really want to respond to them personally. So we're going to go ahead and get started with that.
Yeah, because guys, a lot of times when we read these emails or we read these tweets or we read these YouTube comments, the best ideas for this show come from you, usually. And we get these emails that are fantastic and that we think more people should hear. So this is going to be our opportunity to do that. And you might be on the air with us today. One thing we do have to admit at the beginning, we're not going to get through everything.
Oh, no. And, you know, we never do, but we try and respond to as much as we possibly can. And we're going to get right into it, right, Ben?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to do the honors?
I will. Frederick? I'm going to start off with one from Wayne. He wrote to us via email, and he said, "Hello, I was just listening to your podcast and wanted to correct you on a piece of information. Jade Helm 15 is a live fire exercise." Those are all caps. "They won't have blanks, but bullets in the guns." Again, that comes from Wayne. What do you think, Ben?
Well, I had heard that they were using blanks. I'm going to check back. Thanks for giving us the heads up, Wayne. I'm going to look into that and see where those live fire reports are coming from. Because I believe in this email, Wayne didn't have like a link for us.
No, and you know, it could always be the situation where there are parts of the exercise that are using live fire rounds for one section or one day.
That's a good
or
point
one
too,
hour
yeah.
long thing. Perhaps, or, you know, maybe the whole thing, we will have to get back to you on that.
Or maybe what's actually happening is not being reported in its entirety. There's always that possibility.
Absolutely.
So that Jade Helm, for people who haven't checked out our podcast or video on that first, its full name is Jade Helm 15. It is a multi-state military exercise that's going to be taking place between July 15th and September 15th of this year. You've probably heard about it in the news, especially because I think the governor and a couple other political officials of Texas pretty much asked the federal government if it was a takeover plan.
Yeah, Ted Cruz and all that. Who is that action star that was concerned? What? I can't think of his name.
Norris, Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris was concerned.
Oh, you knew his name. You knew it was him.
I know, I'm just joking.
So now let's switch over to some of the messages we got from Facebook. I was talking to a guy named Alexius K, and he said, "How and why aren't the governments making you guys disappear?" And this is a question that we get, we've had before, but we want to go ahead and establish, like, when we do this show, we try to stay safe by using publicly available information. Now, sometimes that publicly available information might still be classified. Right?
Sure, or at one time was classified.
Sure, right. Especially WikiLeaks, Snowden stuff, those other disclosures. But everything that you see or hear on our show is something that is theoretically accessible to anybody with enough determination to do some research. Now, we appreciate the concern with that sort of stuff. We have, to our knowledge, never been threatened, I guess, by the government, right?
No.
Just by people on email and YouTube.
Yeah.
Right.
We have had a few private phone conversations where it certainly seemed like maybe there was a third party on the call, I would have to say.
That is true. Yeah, that actually happened.
Just imagine Ben and I don't know where Ben was when these conversations happened, but imagine me outside my house at like 1 a.m. talking to Ben on the phone and both of us having conversations with a third party NSA friend and just talking to the friend.
That poor guy, probably an intern, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That did actually happen. At least we did have that conversation. One other one, Tommy A. writes to us and says, listening to the Jade Helm 15 episode right now, Matt is right that the Walmart thing could be its own podcast. I work with a former Walmart store director, and he heard that those 6 stores were trying to unionize, and that's why they were shut down. According to him, Walmart will not be rehiring most of the employees. Only those they know had no union involvement.
You know, I have heard that. For me, it's a rumor. I've heard that rumor as well, and I'm very interested. I don't know if anyone else saw the video of the Walmart anti-union. It was a Walmart anti-union video that was making the rounds on the internet this week. And it's an interesting practice that some companies do to try and prevent that kind of unionization.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if this, you know, if it was some kind of retaliation against those stores, but there's really no way to tell until some kind of document comes out or a whistleblower, really.
Yeah, exactly. And let's see. Let's go back to some emails.
Okay. Just to stay on Jade Helm while we're here, this one comes from Ron, and he says, Jade Helm, my opinion is that the government is preparing for a possible breakdown of society. What is it? Water crisis, financial collapse, radiation from Japan, oceans collapsing. They could even take money from our accounts like was done with Greece. People will fight, but not all. A solar flare could knock out all of our communication for months, and gangs would run over our towns and take what they want. Don't trust the government. That's from Ron.
Mm-hmm. How do you respond to that, Matt? What do you think?
Well, that is, Ron, it's interesting to me. I understand where you're coming from and that viewpoint. As someone who has gone down many a rabbit hole, I can see where kind of that, I mean, let's be honest, it's a bit of paranoia that sets in when you go down into some of these places that are a bit more dark. And these are all things that I've been concerned about before. We've talked about the radiation from the disaster in Japan,
Fukushima.
Exactly. You know, our oceans collapsing and acidification is scary. The water levels rising.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of things there to be worried about. I would just say to Ron, hang out with some people in your neighborhood. Get to know some people you don't know. I don't know. Just try and relax, man. It's scary. Some of this stuff is scary, but sometimes I find myself just having to go out somewhere and just pretend like a lot of that stuff doesn't exist for a while.
Well, I'm gonna say things that might be a little bit different, respectfully.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
So I think that it is important to establish a network with people that you know and live around, but I don't see it as anything other than a necessity, a kind of a be prepared situation.
Absolutely.
So what I will say is that, of course the U.S. government has, preparation and run scenarios for possible collapse of society. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's what governments do.
It's probably a good idea.
There has to be a plan A, a plan B, all the way down to a plan triple Z.
Double Z, yeah.
Yeah, a double Z. And the people who would say that it is paranoid to think that the military would be prepared for something like that, or the government would be prepared, either, I think, have some kind of emotional chip on their shoulder about what they see as a conspiracy theory, or they are not understanding exactly what that kind of situation is. Because having a plan for if something goes wrong doesn't mean that you want something to go wrong. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think you raised some great points here, Ron, with water crises. That is absolutely,
oh, man.
That's absolutely happening. Matt, you and I did a series before on the possibility of water wars, and we found out that in some countries, water wars are already occurring. Not big state level, by which I mean countries fighting kind of water wars, but, different ethnic groups fighting over water as a resource. There have been some suspicious maybe the best way to say it is there have just been some rumors of suspicious large land purchases in Paraguay involving
with aquifers and
mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, involving members of the U.S. Political dynasties.
Well, yeah, not to mention large corporations like Nestle buying up land all over the globe that are just, you know, privatizing the water that's underneath the land.
Mm-hmm. And as for a financial collapse or the possibility of a financial collapse, that routinely occurs. I mean, the world is ending for someone every day. They're just that's what happens when you have this many people in one place. So I also think the know about solar flares, that's something that really concerned you for a long time.
Oh, man. It's always in the back of my head thinking about coronal mass ejection and what's going to happen.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And you can check out our videos on that. Now, Ron, you sound like you've seen a lot of these things or a mm-hmm. lot of at least the work we've done on this. And we appreciate it. I think that mention of the situation in Greece is good too, because a lot of people in the States are not fully aware of just how bad the situation mm-hmm. was in Greece. And we want to keep our eyes on these things, and we'll be sending, of course, some updates as we learn more. But thank you for writing
yes.
to us, Ron.
Thanks, Ron. And I just want to say, Ron, I hope you didn't take offense to what I was saying to you earlier. I just want you to know I've been there and I feel all that stuff. And sometimes I just have to kind of get my head out of the water. You know what I mean? Like, just to remember that I can breathe, and there are a lot of good things going on too. That's all I was saying. Okay. Oh, here's one for you, Ben. This comes from Christopher. He says, "Hey guys, got a show topic for you. Is there any truth to the quote, Papa kills babies unquote video that popped up on YouTube and spawned a bunch of conspiracies? It's allegedly involving dark rituals, abuse, and high level government cover ups. Sounds right up y'all's alley." Okay, so this is a video of two children that are being interviewed by, I believe, a male speaker, and perhaps also there was a female behind the camera as well, asking them questions about what Papa did.
Okay.
And the children are responding fairly normally at the beginning, then it gets a lot darker, and the kids are starting to talk about killing people, how Papa made them use a knife and kill people.
Uh-huh.
And then they describe some sexual abuse going on. It's pretty disturbing.
Yeah.
It's one of those situations where, since I wasn't there, since no one that I know was there to confirm whether or not these children were being coached or whether or not they were being completely truthful,
mm-hmm.
It's just a piece of video that's on the internet. However, there was for a while a YouTube channel that had a whole series of interviews with these kids. And the allegations that they were putting forward, they were naming names of certain, I believe, school teachers.
Okay.
And a couple other prominent members of their local society about being in this group that did these things. And it's really disturbing. And it kind of, for me, was tying into the scandal that's going on in London right now
mm-hmm.
about pedophilia up in the higher ranks of things like the BBC.
Sure, yeah.
So, to me, I don't know if there is a connection there. I don't know enough about the situation. I need to do some more research, but I'm definitely interested in it. And if you're interested in this video, pretty sure you can find it. It got mirrored all over the place.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that. It's strange. It's something that we have mentioned before, and it's one of those situations where, you know, for a long time, David Icke, whom, if you're listening to this show, I'm sure you have heard of David mm-hmm. Icke. For a long time, one of the claims David Icke made was that there was an active secret pedophilia network in the upper reaches of British society. And everyone said that he was absolutely crazy and was ridiculous. And when it turned out that that is not only absolutely true, but probably still subject to an active cover-up, then the switch flipped and people said things like, well, a broken clock is right twice a day. For all the younger listeners out there, clocks used to have a different kind of, like a watch face.
Yeah.
And then saying things like, oh, we knew all along. Of course, that's obvious, but it's being exaggerated. And unfortunately, the evidence indicates that this is a real thing, at least in the British instance. Now, I have myself not seen the Papa Kills Babies episode or the clip on YouTube. But the following things are true. One, things like this have occurred in England, are possibly still occurring with the tacit approval of members of the government. And two, what happens there in that situation does not necessarily make other things that could be unrelated also true, you know, if we're just being logical about it. But I think that's something I have to watch, Christopher, because the fact that these types of things are, at least in one case, real and inarguable is a frightening, it's horrific. It's a horrific thing. So anything that we could do, listeners, anything that you can do to stop that sort of situation, I think morally we are compelled to do so.
Absolutely. And just to throw here in at the end, I believe there was an article recently that came out of, I think, The Guardian that was speaking on the current investigation where there were 1,400 people being investigated for this network. That is terrifying to think that that number of people could be involved.
Yeah, and if they're all they might even get convicted, especially if they've already passed away, right?
Yeah.
That seems to be the case.
Yep.
All right, so here we go. Frank G. writes to us and says, can you look into the Russian documentary Men in Black and the recent claim that Russia is telling the U.S. to reveal what it knows about UFOs, and if they don't, we will? Frank, I was very excited when I read this because I had not heard about this. It's strange because UFO disclosure, the disclosure of what a given government knows about UFOs, often seems to be like a flying car, by which I mean it's something that's always just around the corner, but never there. We know that some governments have disclosed or declassified their investigations or some of their investigations into unidentified flying objects, which again does not necessarily mean an alien. We did a thing on Project Blue Book before, right? We know this is something that might interest you a lot, Frank. Just as a quid pro quo, since you gave me a great tip about this Russian documentary that I'll check out, here's something for you. The Russian government, even before it was the Soviet government, had an active paranormal investigation department dating back to the early 20th century, like the teens. And we, Matt and I, that is, did quite a bit of research into this. There's a book that I think you might enjoy, which we've mentioned before in some of our past podcasts, called Red Shambhala. And it is about early 20th century Russian spies and occult investigations and the quest for mysterious lands in Central Asia. And I think that you might enjoy that quite a bit. And in the meantime, I'll check out Men in Black, the Russian documentary, not the Will Smith vehicle.
Yeah, it's very different. Mm-hmm. How does that match up with psychotronics?
Psychotronics were part of that paranormal investigation, but psychotronics, I believe, largely began under the Soviet government. Didn't we do some stuff on psychotronics? Yeah. Psychotronics, essentially, was the idea of treating the mind or any alleged mental abilities as a kind of technology and attempting to integrate that with other technology available at the time. Now, you will hear quite a few different accounts about whether this worked. People like James Randi would say it's utter bunk, or other people would say it was totally covered up because it, you know, if it was real, then it would be a technology that potentially everybody is born with to some degree or another. And what we can say for sure is that research on something like psychotronics continued for decades.
On both sides of the Cold War.
Both sides, yeah. Project Stargate in the U.S., a remote viewing experiment or series of experiments that continued for years as well. So,
or maybe they continue today, Ben.
Right. Maybe they do. Maybe they do. Maybe that poor NSA intern we mentioned earlier is remotely viewing this room.
Oh, that would be so cool. There would be a big orb that he'd be writing down.
Oh.
Right? Two guys, and then a third one. There'd be a plane of glass between them.
So yeah, I mean, maybe that sounds like a setup. Again, that's if this stuff is real. But it is fascinating that so many world powers spent so much money trying to figure this out. Let's see, what's next, Matt?
This one comes from Mike. He says, "Hey, gents, great podcast and videos. Thank you, sir. I'm a podcast rookie and yours hooked me. Now I'm traveling back in time and trying to catch up. I was just wondering, do you think humanity as a whole has the ability to obliterate a planet?" Now that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I have been listening to sci-fi short stories between podcasts, and in one, we were waging the typical war against the Venusians, like Venus?
Venusians. Yes.
It made me think, assuming that if we can get there, do we have the ability or knowledge or faculty to have a rival planet, to make a rival planet uninhabitable? I know sometimes I think we are working diligently to make ours less habitable. That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
However, do you think if we marshaled our resources and brainage, we could unleash tidal waves, earthquakes, tornadoes, volcanic eruptions, nuclear winter, storms, heat waves, blizzards, cyclones, hailstorms, droughts, wildfires, epidemics, solar flares, avalanches, meltdowns, EMPs, computer viruses, gas leaks, nuclear explosions, and the heartbreak of psoriasis on a global scale? That was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds crazy now that I said it, but we do put a lot of effort forth trying to stop these. I just wonder if we could rally to defeat those lousy Venusians.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting question. I remember reading this email and thinking about it, because one of the strange things here is that if somehow we as a species attempted to destroy a planet, we don't have the technology to get to a planet to just totally destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a very bad idea to attempt to obliterate Mars or something else that is within our solar system. However, for an organism that does not have the capacity for interstellar travel, as far as we know, we are very good at building bombs, and it is possible, and it would take a lot of work, but it would be possible, I believe, for us to obliterate a planet. One of the, I don't know if it would happen in one big explosion, right? That might take more nuclear material than currently exists on our planet, right? Because it's much more, it's much easier to obliterate life on a planet or the surface of a planet than it is to make the whole thing go kaboom. So it is possible. I think it would be a longer process. There would have to be probably some shunts set up, some mining. The largest, deepest hole in the world right now is located in Russia, and it's part of, you know, an experiment to, well, at least the official stories, it's part of an experiment to learn more about the world beneath us, quite literally. And what we're finding is that it's pretty difficult to dig a hole after a certain point, but we would probably have to dig a hole and dig more than one hole of a further depth than we have in Russia, and detonate multiple large nuclear weapons. And even then, I don't know if that would, I don't know what the tipping point would be, but it is
the idea that it would trigger volcanic activity and seismic activity.
Well, you know, that's interesting because some planets, like to Mars, for example, are considered dead because they have a dead core, right? So I'm not sure how. I'm not sure how that would trigger, but if it was something with an active core, then yeah, it could possibly trigger a massive volcanic eruption.
I just have to say I love how much thought you're putting into this, Ben.
I've been thinking about this one. Yeah. and the interesting thing, I think the most interesting point about it is it would not happen as quickly. It would still be easier to destroy a planet than it would be to create or to terraform a planet, a process that would take centuries easily, because I guess it's always easier to destroy than it is to create. However, that being said, it would be a tall order for us to completely, again, the word I guess was obliterate a planet.
So coincidentally, I watched Ender's Game for the first time last night.
Oh yeah, yeah. How'd you like it?
Well, you know, I've read it in school, in grade school back in the day, and I, you know, it was pretty fun to see it all play out. And in that movie, I'm gonna put a spoiler alert here. Just skip the next 2 minutes if you want to see Ender's Game and you have not yet. But they actually destroy a planet for all intents and purposes, the surface at least of the planet, with a giant particle beam, and it creates what essentially the effect would be if a massive asteroid impacted a planet and just fire took over the entire thing. Interesting. I wonder if we could make something like that, a dual particle beam, like a planet destroyer a la the Death Star. One day, Ben. One day.
You mean like you, me, and Noel?
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody
and Scully?
Listening? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Agent Scully. I don't know. I don't know if I would want to do that or have
access. But sometimes you got to take out them before they take you out, man.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's true with that mentality. But then it kind of reminds me of this beautiful part of The Dark Knight Rises, which I don't want to over-reference because I'm sure people are tired of hearing about it at times, but that amazing moment. Where there's a boat of convicts and a boat of civilians, each with the ability to blow up the other person. I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't seen it. But what I will go back to, and this will probably be one of the last Jade Helm things I read, because I think it's a fair point. Ronnie C., you wrote to us and said, "Hi, love the show. Wanted to quickly comment on your recent Jade Helm episode. Your assertion that there's something fishy about all of the Walmart stores closing at once is a little bit alarmist." I think it's a fair point. That was me in the last part. Mm-hmm. "Having worked for two companies that did exactly that, closed many stores suddenly without notice, I can say it's usually an attempt by the home office to keep the staff until the last day. Had they gotten the notice, most of the staff would have quit prior to their last day, leaving the store dangerously understaffed. It's, well, the word I'll use is crappy, but that's usually the rationale." I think that's a great point, Ronnie, and thank you for making it.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Just to close it like that. But for me, for the people who are working there, the staff, you kind of need to know that you're not going to have a job. It's like giving your employer a 2 weeks notice. To me, it's just the opposite of that.
Right. Yeah. I understand, but I think it could be alarmist. And that was a concern of mine to say it was tied directly to Jade Helm, but I don't think it's alarmist to say it was tied to unionization.
Oh, absolutely not. And yes and no.
Okay. All right. So what do you got? You got a couple more?
Yes. I have two more here that I really want to read. The first one is one of my favorite interactions that I've ever had with a listener, or you and I have had it with a listener. It comes from Aaron. And Aaron, I think it was on Wednesday of this week, Aaron sent us an email that said, "Clear view of the X-37B now." And that was the subject. And then he just said, "Hey guys, I'm on a boat 3 miles away from the launch pad. Call me if I can relay any info to you." And then he had an image of a launch pad in the distance, like from off of the coast.
A little bit of background here, just to interject. The X-37B is an unmanned relaunchable spacecraft that has been...
Looks like a shuttle.
Yeah, it looks exactly like a shuttle without windows. It has been in use for numerous missions, and it's been up in space for a long time.
And it's classified.
Everything about what it's doing except going into space mm-hmm. is completely classified. No one's exactly sure what's going on unless they're people affiliated with the project. Spooky stuff. It's been up for more than a year in space mm-hmm. before. Yeah.
So he sent that to us pretty early in the morning, and Ben and I were both excited just to see it. Then right after that, he sent us a video, and it said, video of the X-37B. Here's some video. It's T-90 minutes. Does that mean until launch? 90 minutes until launch?
Yeah.
We're being shadowed by a Coast Guard vessel, and then he put the number of the Coast Guard vessel. And according to their automatic identification system, they just have this in case we go missing. This is why he was giving us their number. and then he sent us a whole movie through this really cool long-range optics that mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what it was. It looked like a periscope, but that's not what it was because he was on a yacht.
Yeah, I noticed that was strange too. I was going to ask you about that actually, Matt, because, you know, I defer to you in these things.
It looked like he was filming, like, using his phone, his iPhone camera or whatever phone he's using, just uh-huh. putting it through the optics that you would normally just use your eye for. Because it looked, you'd see the vignetting on the sides, so it mm-hmm. wasn't just some kind of lens.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, we've got to say, one of the first emails I wrote to this guy, I said, I hope you're okay. Let us
yes.
know. I was very much like somebody's grandparent or something.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, okay, well, just check in.
Be careful out there, Aaron. Make sure you don't hurt yourself.
And that was a good thing to say, too. I stand by it because there's so little that we know about X-37B.
Yeah.
And if you are interrupting a classified project or if you're monitoring a classified project in any country, it can become very dangerous very quickly.
Especially if national security is involved, Ben. Oh, and then the last thing he did was he sent photos. He said, photos of Air Force during pro-launch. They came out to buzz our boat. I've got video, and you can use it if you want, which is pretty awesome. And he says, it was intense. And then it was images of, I believe, their GPS position, or at least their AIS position, that automatic identification system, the launch site itself again, and then a helicopter that was buzzing their yacht, which was pretty crazy. Coast Guard helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that was from Aaron, and he said, if you want to watch the video, he gave us permission to send you to youtube.com/theyachtcaptain. Yacht Captain. And there's that video that he sent us. So pretty cool.
Yeah, and thank you again, Aaron. And stay safe out there, but we would love to do a return to X-37B. What's next, Mr. Frederick?
Okay, this is the last email that I've prepared here, and it comes from Christian. Christian says, I've been watching your show ever since I was pretty young. I'm not sure how young, but it was well before you moved to How Stuff Works. Okay, stop. Just to clarify, we have always been How Stuff Works. Right, Ben?
I think you might be talking about the YouTube channel moves.
Oh, okay, so interesting. But our original YouTubes were on the How Stuff Works. We'll clarify with Christian later. But yes, just for everybody out there, we have always been a part of How Stuff Works.
Yeah, it's as far as we know, right?
Yes.
It can be a little confusing for sure because you can find our videos in a number of different places mm-hmm. now. But we have, to the best of our knowledge, been continually part of How Stuff Works.
One of the big things was there are several channels on YouTube that were putting our old iTunes videos up before we started really migrating
yeah,
to YouTube.
Yeah.
So people thought we were this channel called Dead Tree TV, and there were a bunch of other ones
mm-hmm.
that had lots of views. lots and lots of views until we unfortunately had to shut those guys down. What? Christian continues, I'm currently living in Statesboro, going to Georgia Southern. Very cool, dude. Your podcast is great. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
You guys should try putting out more of them.
Yeah.
You want to help us out with that?
Yeah.
No problem. Then he says, it would be awesome if you guys had some sort of forum. I think I remember you guys talking about it a while ago, but nothing came of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Regards, longtime fan Christian. So, yeah, the forum is something that we really want to do. It's just coming down to time and resources here for us. But, you know, that's definitely in our, I would say our long-term plan is to have some kind of place, like a central place where we can talk to you and you can talk to us and we can share ideas.
And there are, of course, some forums that already exist where if you like the kind of stuff we do, you will enjoy these forums. You can find, well, it depends on what you're looking for, but there are enough forums out there. We'd love to have our own in the future. Mm-hmm. What you can do in the meantime, however, if you are interested, is you can check out our blogs. I will be reviving our blog with some topical news, some updated stuff, and we will be able to speak to each other regarding mm-hmm. that kind of stuff at any point. So I guess a common thread sometimes can be like a forum.
Yeah, yeah. If you go to Above Top Secret or Reddit/r/conspiracy or places like that, you can always join up with other people and talk about a lot of this stuff. And hey, you know, if you wanted to mention us on any of those forums, that's cool with us.
Right. One other one I could recommend is the subreddit Unresolved Mysteries or Unsolved
yes.
Mysteries. That's
I think
a
it's Unresolved.
One. Unresolved Mysteries is a great one. Okay, so it looks like we are getting to the end of our time today. So we want to thank Wayne, Axilius, Ron, Tommy, Christopher, Frank G., Ronnie, Aaron, Mike, and who else?
Christian.
And Christian. And I hope I got everybody's name there. And now, as we draw to a close, we have one last thing, one of our favorite parts of the show. We've got to have our super producer, Noel, checking it once, checking it twice, Brown, on the mic with us. Because, Noel, you got a mention in a recent email.
And here's the email. Dear conspiracy nerds, there is a brief mention in a book that is, by your accounts, terrifying, fairly early into the aforementioned episode, at 3:17. Quote, Ben showed me a book, unquote. You go on to mention how evil it is, and yet unforgettable, as it's evidently either accurate or just completely far-fetched. By chance, would you happen to recall the title or author of this book? If so, could you be so kind as to share it with me? A decent read is always welcomed, apparently with information that's impossible to unknow. Wishing you both, and super producer Noel, well. Thanks kindly in advance, and keep up the great work. And that comes from D.
Well, thanks for writing to us, D. So, Noel, you've got this shout-out here, and we are going to spill some of the beans about this book, because this is not the first time people emailed us. And if you recall, I didn't think it was terrifying. I know,
for me, it was seeing the dark side for the first time. But, it's also the Force, right? It's like it has both sides.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like that analogy. So the book that we were talking about, I cannot remember the exact title, but it deals with a thing called neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP. Essentially, the manipulation or framing of a conversation, guiding somebody's decisions through body language and other subtle nonverbal or even verbal cues. NLP gets a terrible name because a lot of people will try to pitch it as some hardcore, completely peer-reviewed science or scientific pursuit, which is not true, but there are techniques from that which can be quite useful. I'd like to go ahead and recommend one of my favorite mentalists again, Darren Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So, Noel, you and I talked about this before. Essentially, we're talking about body language and we're talking about power moves. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Those three levels?
Yeah, there's the gripping of the shoulder, mm-hmm. then the cupping of the elbow. That's sort of the highest echelon of power.
That one bothers me.
What's the middle one?
The middle one is holding someone's arm between their elbow and their shoulder.
Okay.
It's very much, you know, the way you would see a parent grab a kid.
Or even like a security guard leading someone out of like mm-hmm. a venue or something.
And that's part of why when you see, pay attention when you look at pictures of politicians or high-level businessmen shaking hands, because you'll see like mm-hmm. one person, these guys will sometimes be in a fight to get who's...
which elbow will be grabbed.
Yeah, which shoulder will be patted, you know. But it is possible. This book has some pretty concrete tips about how to prime people for thing using, you know, non-verbal cues like repeating. It could be as simple as making some sort of physical contact when you say a particular word. Now, again, a lot of people are going to write in and say this stuff is utter bunk. It is true that people make it out to be way more useful or real. Or
I
research
think
than it is. Yeah, effective.
I don't think it's nearly as effective as
a lot of people say.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the group of people who fancy themselves pickup artists, right?
Sure, the game.
Right, exactly. And that I think is could be compared to there's an equivalency of sorts, but the book that we have been asked about for so long is a book about neuro-linguistic programming, and parts of it have been thoroughly debunked, but other parts, based on studies, appear to be legit. And I, Noel, I wanted you on there just because we've spent some weird times talking about this sort of body language stuff. But Noel, you're usually our arbiter of things like this, so we have to ask you, if you could use some kind of semi-hypnotic technique or body language stuff.
I'm so glad you're asking this.
Yeah, if you could use it to get people to do what you want, would you? Would you feel like that was morally okay?
Oh, man. That is quite the quandary.
Right? That's how I felt when I first, started reading this book. Just, well, now that I know this exists.
Is it one of those things where, if you use it for good, then it's okay, but if you use it for your own selfish ends, then it's not okay?
Or is it
just not okay?
That's kind of my opinion, but...
It's all relative, guys.
Yeah,
right.
Enough.
One person's good is another person's evil, mm-hmm. But... I like to use the phrase, win-win situations.
Right?
Oh, whatever. Now I'm the bad guy?
No.
Well, okay, so Noel, what do you think? What do you think? It's such a slippery slope, too, if you think you're going to be...
Well, and it's just one of those things, too, where you might start using it for good, and you're like, I'm just going to use it this one time for this whatever noble pursuit, and then you get a little taste of it, and you're like, well, I could just use it for this other thing. You know, it's no big deal.
I shouldn't have to pay.
No, I'll use it for this other thing, and then before you know it, you're, pure... unadulterated evil.
You're like a governor or something.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Are you talking about The Walking Dead or are you talking about...
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. I got that reference.
Cool.
All right. Well, I see what you're saying, Noel. That's a very good point. We are going to throw the question to you, ladies and gentlemen. Do you think if you had the power, let's say you could mentally manipulate people with some kind of telepathy, whatever, hypothetical mm-hmm. stuff, then what would you do with it?
Oh, man.
It's a heavy question.
Please, please write to us. Send us your thoughts to Facebook, to Twitter. Mm-hmm. Email is my personal favorite. I know it's old school, but mm-hmm. I love having it. There's just a good documentation of it.
And since we're speaking about old school, we'll also give you a third, fourth, fifth, a different avenue. And that will be our physical address where you can mail us real life letters. Yeah, people still use real life letters. I send them. I'm sending a few today. And Matt, you've used the post before as well. So Matt, what is our address? Where can people mail things to stuff they don't want you to know?
If you want to send us something real, possibly three dimensional, which would be really cool if it was three dimensional, because I don't know how you would make a 2D thing.
Yeah, but definitely not explosive.
Oh, please, please don't do that. but our address is 675 Ponce de Leon Avenue Northeast, Suite 4500, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. And you can just put it, to Matt and Ben and Noel.
Sure, yeah, that's fine if you feel so moved. If you would just like to drop us an easier electronic line, then please use our aforementioned email. We are
conspiracy@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this topic and other unexplained phenomena, visit youtube.com/conspiracystuff. You can also get in touch on Twitter at the handle @conspiracystuff.